Today is the third Sunday after Easter. The epistle for today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires, which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. We stand for the Holy Gospel. Taken from John chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, "What is this he says to us, 'A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, and I go to the Father.'" They kept saying therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me.' Amen, I say to you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth a child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear friends, and especially dear children, dear first communicants, today is one of the most important days of your entire life. This moment when, for the first time, Jesus is going to enter your soul. He's going to enter your heart. The day of your baptism was a wonderful day when God poured his grace into your soul, when he gave you his own life through sanctifying grace. St. Thomas Aquinas says that when God does that, when God infuses grace into the soul at baptism, he does something greater than the creation of the whole world. All the stars, the planets, the mountains, everything God has made, that's nothing compared to what he does at baptism. But today, you will be united in a special way to God made man, to our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to give you himself, and he wants to give you all of himself, his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. Through sanctifying grace, it's true that, and it's a wonderful truth, that the Holy Trinity is present in us, really. And we say there's a substantial presence of the infinite God, the life of the Trinity living in us through grace. But Holy Communion is special in the sense that you are going to receive the humanity of our Lord. And it'll be just for those few minutes, those few precious minutes that we have the substance of his humanity in us. By his incarnation, our Lord united himself to mankind in general. And in Holy Communion is a kind of continuation of the incarnation. By Holy Communion, he wants to unite himself to each individual member of the human race. He wants to unite himself to each of you individually and personally. This is God's plan. This is God's will, because God is charity. Charity gives itself and charity unites. This is our God. In the gospel, our Lord spoke more about the Holy Eucharist than any of the other sacraments which he gave to us. The famous John chapter 6, which we should read from time to time, just after the multiplication of the loaves, when he fed 5,000 people, three times he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life which has come down from heaven." And he speaks of the Eucharist. He says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." He that does eat my flesh and drink my blood hath everlasting life. He that does eat my flesh and drink my blood abides in me and I in him. He spoke these words just before the feast of the Passover, the Pasch, 1 year before the Last Supper, which was also at the Passover. Our Lord is the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb which is not only slain for us, but must be eaten. He wants to give himself to us as food. It's also beautiful, the Monday after Easter, remember the gospel, the two disciples of Emmaus, they're walking back from Jerusalem, they're discouraged after Good Friday. And then Jesus joins them, he walks with them. And when they come to the end of the journey, these two disciples ask him to stay. They say, stay with us, O Lord. Mane nobiscum Domine. It's the same word, this mane, remain, to abide. When our Lord says, abide in me and I in you. And that's our prayer today, and that's the prayer we want for you first communicants, that you ask your divine Savior, stay with us, O Lord, stay with me. Our Lord wants to be united to us. He wants to nourish us, but he also wants to change us. Yesterday we spoke about that during the recollection. The whole Eucharist is meant to change us. St. Augustine points out that normally when we eat, for example, if we eat some bread, the bread is assimilated to us. It becomes us in a certain sense. We transform the bread into ourselves. But he says with the Eucharist, it's just the opposite. We receive the bread of life, and we're transformed by the bread of life. We become like Christ. And that's what a saint is. A saint is someone who is changed into Jesus. We all have original sin. We all have the wounds of original sin. We all have our weaknesses, our shortcomings. But we're meant to be transformed. And the main way this happens is through the Eucharist. Of course, it happens through prayer. It happens through the other sacraments. But the main way is through Holy Communion. And with each Holy Communion, we should be better. We should be holier. We should be more like our Lord. Just as when an object is falling to the ground, as it gets closer to the ground, it falls faster. Well, again, just the opposite. As we get closer to God, we should be going faster. As the soul ascends towards God, with each communion, we should grow in more and more charity. And this greater love will give us a greater acceleration towards God. The Holy Eucharist is meant to change us. And it changed a young girl, a young Chinese girl, 10 years old. Back in the early 50s, when communism was ravaging China, at the time there were many Catholics in China, and there was a Catholic village, and in this village lived a little girl. Her name was Li, L-I. And she was taught by, her class was taught by Sister Euphrasia, and they received their communion in 1951, I think. And just 2 months after they received their first communion, the Catholic faith was outlawed in China. And the soldiers came, they actually came into the school. And the communist soldiers screamed at the children. They told them they had to give them all of their religious items, the statues, the pictures. One of the soldiers took the crucifix down and threw it on the ground and said, "No longer will this superstition be tolerated." And little Lee tried to hide her first communion and holy card. She tried to hide it in her dress. And the soldier saw her and he slapped her to the ground. That same day, the soldiers took everyone in the village to the church, and they told them that no longer would they be allowed to go there. And the commander broke open the tabernacle, and he took the ciborium, and he scattered the host all over the sanctuary. Of course, people were shocked. They turned away, and little Lee was frozen with horror. And they were told if anyone comes back to the church, they'd be liable to death. And they locked the priest up. The priest was locked in a coal bunker in the back of the church, but he was still able to see through a little opening in the door. He was able to see the host scattered there on the floor, and he prayed. He prayed earnestly, "Lord, to end this sacrilege." And the next morning, little Lee came into the church, this 10-year-old girl, bravely. She snuck in at dawn, and she came up to the sanctuary, and she knelt down, and she made a holy hour. She spent a whole hour in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And then she bent over, and with her tongue, she took one of the hosts from the floor and received communion. And after some moments of thanksgiving, she quietly left. And the priest saw this whole thing, and he was terrified, for he was worried the soldiers would find her. She came back the next morning and did the exact same thing. She came in, came to the sanctuary, knelt down, made a holy hour. Because her sister had taught them to prepare well for Holy Communion. And then she again bent over, and with her tongue, she took one of the hosts from the floor and received her divine Savior. And again, the priest was worried. He knew how many hosts were in that ciborium. There were 32 hosts. And he wondered why she wouldn't consume them all at once, you know, to be more careful with her life. But sister had taught them, you only receive one host a day. You only receive communion once a day. And you only receive it on your tongue. The last day came. The priest realized this would be the last day, the 32nd day, and he was glad because he was worried for her. And just as she had done every morning, she came in, she knelt down, and in the middle of her holy hour, one of the soldiers barged into the church, and he saw her. And he pulled his gun out, and he shot little Lee. And she fell to the ground, and the priest thought she was dead, but she struggled. She crawled to that last host. And she received Holy Communion, Viaticum, we could say. She received Holy Communion one last time before she died. She died a martyr's death. Afterwards, the soldier was filled with confusion and remorse. He realized what he had done. He just killed this girl, little girl, who was just praying in the church. And he was converted, and he released the priest, and the priest was able to take the body of little Lee and to bury it in secret, of course. And he was able to escape. He was able to escape China. And that's the reason why we know this story of this brave little girl. Dear friends, the moments after Holy Communion are the best moments of our life. They are precious moments. Let us spend them well. Let us really cherish them. And let us ask Our Lady for this grace today. Dear First Communicants, ask the Blessed Virgin Mary today that this communion, this is your first communion, that you receive your divine Lord as if it were your only communion, as if it was your last communion. And for all of us who have received communion perhaps many times, many years, to receive it today as if it was our first time. We must always try to see everything in our Catholic faith as if it was the first time. We have to come to the church as if it was our first time, to attend Mass as if it was our first time. To always have this appreciation, this wonder, and this gratitude. Eucharist means gratitude, thanksgiving. We ask this grace of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we can only imagine her first communion. Yes, Our Lady received communion for the first time, probably from St. John. Just imagine once again that joy she would have had, to once again have his body, her son's body, his blood, and his soul and his divinity once again in her. That body which was formed from her own flesh, that precious blood which found its source in her Immaculate Heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.